What did you have in the car?
I had my whole life in the car, Your Honor.
They had him dead to rights.
You had stolen property. You had a witness. Nobody even talked to him.
So why does he still walk free?
How many members of your family that are on the police force?
Like three.
You know something? How did I know that?
I do not know that, Your Honor.
Because otherwise, your behind would have been in jail.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Scott and Heather Biddle are suing 21-year-old Tommy Dean for the value of music and computer equipment stolen from their car, as well as damage to the vehicle.
Order. All rise. Now, it's case number 24 on the calendar, the matter of Biddle versus Dean.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat.
Mr. Biddle, Mrs. Biddle, your car was broken into and some music equipment taken out of the car and a bunch of other things. I assume you reported that to the police?
Correct.
Do you have a police report?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see it. Is your name Amanda Thompson? Would you stand up, please, Ms.
Yes,
Thompson?
Ma'am.
The police report indicates that you were a witness to this.
Yes.
Tell me when it was.
I was working at Vintage City, which is now called Heights Guitars, but at the time it was Vintage City Music Store. And Tommy Dean came in.
This young man?
Yes, this young man.
So you were not a witness to the theft?
No, I was not.
Okay. In any event, there was no witness to the theft, I assume.
Correct.
It is your claim that the defendant is at least partially responsible for this. There may have been more people than just the defendant, but that he participated in this burglary of your car and vandalism of the car was broken into. Mr. Dean says he is just a good Samaritan. So this incident occurred on the 13th of January, 2012. Where was your car parked?
Our car was parked in the parking lot of our apartment complex.
When did you discover it had been burglarized?
When my wife was getting ready to leave for work, I was still staying at home that day, so she went out to the car and noticed that it had been broken into.
What did you have in the car?
I had my whole life in the car, Your Honor. My guitar, my computer.
Why was your computer in the car?
The night before, I was supposed to sit in at a gig at a local club, and it was snowing pretty heavily. And I got a call and said that I wasn't needed. And just because of the snow and stuff, I left everything in the car that night.
What else was in the car?
I'm also a roller derby ref, and all my sporting equipment was also in the vehicle as well.
How was the car broken into?
We're not certain.
Do you know? Did you see any evidence?
The only evidence that there was like three different things that day that we noticed. When I got to work, I could not shut my driver's side door for some reason. And there's dings above where the window is on the driver's side door now. But then we also noticed that it was like loose on the passenger side where the lock and the door handle are. But also the window where our daughter's car seat is normally, it doesn't meet where the molding is. So there's like drafts for her, and actually the snow went into the car that day.
You are surmising that somebody jimmied open
the... Yeah, and the car was unlocked when I had gone out in the morning, and we're very religious about making sure that it is locked, and we even have the key fob, so we lock it, and then we always hit it twice to make it beep before we leave.
Okie dokie. Okay, now Mr. Dean, somehow you got possession of Mr. Biddle's guitar.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're going to tell me the story of how and when you got possession of Mr. Biddle's guitar.
I received the guitar from Anthony, which is an old friend from school.
Anthony. And where does Anthony live?
He lives in Toledo, Ohio.
When did you get it from Anthony?
I'm not sure on the correct date.
What did you do with it when you got it from him?
I went up to Vintage City and sold it for him.
Did you sell it the same day?
The same day he gave it to me, yes.
Yes. Fine, then I can find out exactly when he came in from you, because that's where you work.
That's correct. I don't know the exact date. The paperwork was given to the police that would have said exactly what the date was.
Do you have that paperwork?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
It was the same day.
The same day, the police.
I'd like to see the paperwork anyway.
It's actually on the police report, Your Honor.
That I have.
Yeah, it might be on the comments section on the second page.
Do you recognize him as the one who sold the guitar?
Yes.
Do you remember anything he said to you?
I don't remember what he said, but he was with a friend.
Who were you with?
I was with Stephen.
What were you doing with Stephen?
He's my roommate.
What were you doing with him?
He was just going with me for the ride to sell the guitar for my friend.
So you took your car, and how far did you have to drive to sell the guitar?
About 2 miles, 3 miles.
What did you do with the money?
I went and gave it to Anthony after I sold it.
Why didn't he go with you?
I do not know.
What do you mean you do not know? That doesn't sound normal to me, Mr. Dean. You have a roommate, and you have the guy who had the guitar. You were selling it for the guy who had the guitar. According to this fairy tale that you write in your answer, you say that you were selling it because he didn't have an ID or a bank account. So he asked you to sell it for him. And if he's right there, if he's a mile or two away, then it would seem to me he would get into the car, and instead of some other guy going with you, your roommate, you would take Mr. and Mr. would go with you so that you could make the sale and turn around and do what you said you didn't, give him the money. Would that sound more sensible to you?
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
Sure. That's why I'm not following your story. Now let's get to the next part of your story. You got snookered because she identified you. Did you identify him through a surveillance tape?
No, Your Honor. I'm the one that took in the guitar.
Well, I see that Bird has set up here a television screen. What am I going to see when I look at that?
Your Honor, a few days later, I tried to get in contact with Tommy on my own. The police were not totally helpful in this whole process. So my wife and I took it upon ourselves to try to get the rest of our property back. So a few days later, I was on the phone with Tommy, and he said that he had my laptop, not the rest of my stuff.
He had your laptop?
Yes, ma'am.
How'd you get the laptop?
I went out of my pocket and paid $50 to get it from Anthony.
Oh, so now you have Anthony not only somehow coming into possession of the guitar, but now that you know you're in trouble for the guitar, you also got the laptop back.
I wanted to be a good Samaritan.
Oh, my God, how wonderful. Why don't you just go to the police and say, listen, my friend's got his property. I don't want to get into trouble. I didn't know it was stolen. You think you're an intelligent young man?
Not that much.
Well, are you the kind of young man that people take advantage of all the time?
Sometimes, but not most.
Well, if your pseudo friend, Anthony, was asking you to act as a fence for his property, then he's not really a good friend, right?
Right.
And if he's not a very good friend, you wouldn't have to cover for him. Why would he want to get you in trouble, right?
Right.
Well, then it seems to me if he was trying to get you in trouble or didn't care about whether you got in trouble, then if you knew he had other property, you would go to the police with Mr. Biddle and say, I know where the rest of the property is.
Right, Your Honor.
That's what you would do. Not take $50 from the sale of the guitar and go and get the laptop back.
It was my personal money out of it.
Show me where you took it from.
Out of my wallet?
Where'd you get it from?
From my girlfriend.
You got the $50 from your girlfriend?
Yes, because I didn't have a job at the time.
So that's what I'm asking. You didn't have $50 in your wallet.
I didn't
ask you anything. Did the police ever question you, Mr. Dean?
No, they did not.
Where do you live? In Ohio?
Yes, I do.
Have any members of your family that are on the police force? Is not an answer.
Like three?
Three. You know something? How did I know that?
I do not.
How did I know that? How did I know, without any indication anywhere, that you had members of your family in the police department? How do you think I knew that?
I do not know that.
Because otherwise, your behind would have been in jail. That's how I know. That's why, sir, the police perhaps were not cooperative with you. And that's why, despite... Put your hand down! And that's why, despite the fact that you had stolen property twice, you had a witness, nobody even talked to him. That sound reasonable to you? I've been in law enforcement tangentially for 40 years.
You're very frustrated, ma'am.
Oh, very frustrating. I want you to tell me which of your relatives are on the police force.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Did you speak to them about what happened to you?
No,
ever?
I did not.
You never spoke to them about what happened to you?
No, I did not.
Your grandmother should be very proud of you, sir.
And later today,
she was supposed to come down and drive me and my car home. She texted me later saying that she can't make it. I ended up speeding through a yellow light and got pulled over.
So it's her fault because she didn't pick you up?
Yes.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Scott and Heather Biddle claim Tommy Dean is in some way responsible for their car being burglarized. Tommy is denying the charge.
I want you to tell me which of your relatives are on the police force.
My grandma, my uncle, and his wife.
Your grandma?
Well, she was, but she's not no more.
But she retired. Was? For
yes.
How long?
I think 12 years.
And who else?
My uncle.
Your uncle. Who else?
His wife.
The wife? Did you speak to them about what happened to you? Ever?
Ever. No,
ever.
I did not.
You never spoke to them about what happened to you?
No, I did not.
How big a town do you live in?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
About 30,000.
What's the value of the property that was taken that was not returned?
About $1,100, Your Honor.
And we do have an itemized list of everything else that we're still missing with prices.
Did you try to have your car fixed from where it was jimmied?
We got an estimate, Your Honor.
Yeah. What's the estimate?
$500.
That's $1,600. You know what I'm adding? I'm adding $500 for your trouble.
Thank you.
Your grandmother should be very proud of you, sir. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,100. That's all. Thank you.
Excuse me. Step out.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't do it in the first place.
He was listed on the police report, and then we Facebooked, tried to track him down.
I'm not one of them people that go around stealing stuff.
When someone comes in, they have to, first things first, we have to get an ID.
Ironically, when we got my laptop back, he was still logged in on his own Facebook account.
They are signing a piece of paper that says, I affirm that this property is mine, not my friend's.
We're honest people and we work really hard for the things that we buy.
Not take things that don't belong to you.
Never again.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Galleon versus Collier. Step forward.
Nicole Galleon is suing her ex-boyfriend, Eric Collier, for an unpaid loan to retain an attorney after he was arrested for his second DUI.
Ms. Galleon, the defendant is your former boyfriend. You claim a loan.
Correct.
And the loan was for an attorney so that he could represent the defendant who was charged with a DUI. And it was a serious DUI because you had a prior DUI, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. On what date did you lend him this money?
The original check, the first one, was September 4th. I gave him $3,000 for the retainer.
Show me. And this was made out to him?
Correct.
Is there any reason why you didn't make it out to the lawyer?
Because at that time, he didn't actually have a specific lawyer that he had hired. He was still looking for one. He had indicated that $3,000 was retainer that everybody was requesting.
What's the name of the lawyer that you used?
Linda.
When did you retain her?
October 18th.
2011?
Yes.
Well, if you retained her in October of 2011, this check was written in November of 2011, so you already had a lawyer.
Excuse me, that was my fault. It was September. I apologize.
What was September?
September is the original check that I gave him. November is the second check.
Then I'll take a look.
So that was my mistake.
Let me take a look at the first check you gave him.
I'll give you the other printout of the additional check also, so that way you have it.
Okay. So she gave you money for the lawyer?
Yes, Your Honor.
And when she gave you the checks, you gave it to your attorney?
Yes.
How much did you pay her in total?
$5,000.
These checks add up to more than $5,000.
She gave me more because my fines altogether were $923.
When was the case disposed of?
December 6.
Okay, so the ball's in your court, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Your Honor.
Don't say anything. Bert and I are trying to digest the logic. I got it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Nicole Galleon says ex-boyfriend Eric Collier owes for attorney's fees after he was arrested for his second DUI. Eric claims his arrest was Nicole's fault.
Okay, so the ball's in your court, sir.
I don't owe her anymore.
Well, tell me.
Because, I mean, we made plans the night that I got my DUI. I was going down to the bars with my friends to watch the UFC fights. She was supposed to come down and drive me and my car home. She texted me later at the very end of the night saying that she can't make it. I ended up speeding through a yellow light and got pulled over.
So it's her fault because she didn't pick you up?
Yes.
Your Honor.
Don't say anything. Bert and I are trying to digest the logic.
She knew I had a DUI before.
So did you.
Sorry, but that's why we made these plans.
So did you. You knew that you had a DUI before, so you knew you weren't supposed to get behind the wheel of a car when you had been drinking.
Yeah, but that's why I made these plans with her.
Right, you made these plans with her. Let me ask you the question. Let's say she texted you and said, instead of saying, sorry, I can't make it, I was just in a horrific accident and I'm at the hospital.
That's still, yeah.
Would it still have been her fault? Well, if we use your logic, if the car accident was her fault, then it was her fault. Maybe if it was the car accident that she was in was somebody else's fault, then maybe I got it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it. So under your logic, if she texted you and said, I was just in an automobile accident and I'm not going to be able to come and pick you up, and if the automobile accident was the fault of the other driver, it was the other driver's fault that you got the DUI.
No, that's not their fault.
Well, why not? I mean, it was because of this other person that prevented her from coming to pick you up because she was in a car accident, and therefore you got behind the wheel of a car and drove drunk, and the proximate cause of that was this other unknown driver. Because if the other unknown driver had been driving more carefully, she would have been available to come and pick you up. Yeah. That makes perfect sense under your logic.
Sure.
You thought that the $5,000 was going to be easy here, sir? No. Did you think it was going to be easy? Not easy.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, what do you do for a living?
I'm a paint tech.
What does that mean?
I do paint touch-up on cars.
You work for a company or you work for yourself?
I'm independent.
So you work for yourself?
Yes.
And you make a living doing this?
Okay.
Well,
barely.
Not enough of a living, sir, so that you can afford a $5,000 lawyer and $1,000 in fines. Did you get pulled over, or was there a chase and a reckless driving charge?
No, I got pulled over.
For?
Speeding through a yellow light.
How fast were you going?
I don't know. They didn't clock me. They saw me pass in front of them.
When was the last time prior to today, Ms. Galleon, that you saw the defendant?
End of February, early March.
How?
We had met up when we broke up.
And?
He came to my place of residence, and we cut ties. I had indicated that I wanted my money back. That caused an argument. He had indicated that I wasn't entitled to getting any of it back, and then he left.
That's right.
Charge him for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
And I seen a woman cooking naked in the kitchen.
She approached my car and keyed it.
She was fighting him, saying, you know, hit me, hit me. This woman here, who's clearly fatally attracted.
Next Judge Judy.
His defense was ridiculous. I just can't believe that he indicates that I don't deserve my money back when I was trying to help him out.
No, it is what it is.
He was mad because he wanted me to be his designated driver, and I'm not his babysitter. I was his girlfriend.
I guess it really was my fault to begin with, but I mean, she was supposed to pick me up.
He was gonna go down there with some friends to have some drinks and watch the UFC fight, and I was actually working, so I wouldn't have been able to make it anyways.
She felt really bad about it. I mean, that's why she gave me the money to begin with.
That's what you're supposed to do when you care about somebody. and you're with them. You're supposed to help them out.
She never asked me to pay her back.
I wanted it back from the very get-go, and he just was too broke and stubborn to give it to me.
Well, actually, I used all my money on my food and drinks.
Since this is his second DUI, I wanted to be there for him, but that was me just being naive, apparently.
I need to work on my not drinking when we're driving.
The bank of Nicole is now closed.